Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Oh, we got a lot to talk about. We'll get to Robert Mueller later this hour. We'll get to the debates. We'll go over it. Looks like they got 10 million viewers last night. Actually, more, because it's 10 million on the network, and we haven't seen MSNBC added in yet, because that could make it 10.05 million, 10,100,000 if you add in MSNBC. We'll get to all of that coming up. Thursday, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, the big China summit. Apparently, China has a list of demands that they want met before the agreement. But that's good, though. Yeah, the president has done what he likes to do. He calls it crowding the battlefield. He's put in tariffs, put in all kinds of other things. That way, you've got to negotiate that off. You got your demands. That means they're getting closer to a deal. They think they're 90% of the way there. They'll have a deal by the end of the year signed, and that'll be it for China, which is a good thing. China's got terrible problems economically. Their economy very fragile, on the edge of a cliff right now. Our economy's stronger than ever. So they need to give in on a few things, and they will, because they got to stabilize their economy. So that's good. And then when he comes back, we'll get to that social media summit. You know, this is the real tampering with the election. You know, those Russian bots, if you look at what they accomplished, it was very little money. And despite, you know, Mueller saying it was sweeping strategic interference with the election, look at the actual numbers. It didn't reach a lot of people. The Google algorithm did more to tamper with the election than a couple of Russian bots did. And the Facebook and Twitter algorithms that suppressed anything conservative did more to tamper with the election than anything. So the president's going to hold a huge summit on that with the leaders of these tech companies and throw some cold water in their face about what could happen with government stepping in to control all of that. And it's important to do that. Forget Russia by the next election. You got to make sure that the social media tampering is eliminated by the next election. How much did you watch? I watched about
40 minutes.
Yeah, that's about all anybody could take. So I haven't seen the breakdown yet of when people started tuning out. But tonight is the big debate, the bigger name debate. Biden, Buttigieg, Bernie Sanders. One of the secrets of a debate is don't get too into the numbers. So Biden will do his folksy, lovable old Joe. He'll do that fake everyman act that he does. Bernie's got to be careful not to do his, he gets too much like an accountant. You know, Bernie gets up there and he starts with the top 1% of the top 10% of the top 2%. You know, you lose people with that stuff. Buttigieg, you know, people are saying, that's it for him. He got beaten up really badly in that town hall. That's where a real winner comes out. You know, if you're the rising star, if you're the guy with all the talent, if you're the guy who's doing well, that's how you really do well. When you get really knocked down hard. And you come up from that. If you get up from that, that's when you're on your way.
That's like Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton. And don't forget, Donald Trump, the first debate, his first debate ever, the first question was Megyn Kelly with that ugly, vicious question. It was the roughest hit anybody ever took in a debate. And he came out swinging and he made mincemeat out of her. That's what launched him on his way to real success. That's where everybody else started to say, wait a minute, maybe this guy's good. If he got through that, so if you see Buttigieg emerge from this, he's going to be really hard to stop at that point.
The thing is, I think the party kind of likes to hear these progressive issues. I don't know how Biden plays to that.
Oh, Biden is going to Mr. Progressive now. He's those evil corporations he's going to be going after. and that whole Elizabeth Warren about the giant corporations, they're evil. What is she talking about?
I don't know.
I mean, the giantest, biggest is Amazon. Are they evil?
They don't pay people enough, I think. That's her issue.
I don't know. They pay, even the lowest workers are getting $15 an hour.
Yeah, right.
It's well above minimum wage, and they're getting health care benefits. Hey, all I know is if I want something on Amazon and I think it's going to be $28, I go on Amazon, it's only $12 and they'll deliver it in 2 hours. I mean, how evil is that?
Oh, that's terrible.
Hey, by the way, Amazon has crossed a major threshold. You remember when Amazon first got big and every smart Wall Street guy was buying stocks in FedEx and UPS?
Yeah.
They said, you know what, Amazon, this FedEx doesn't make it. Amazon has now pretty much become their own shipper. In the last few months, on a lot of their products now, they're from the from them all the way to your front door. They're taking care of the whole thing. Now, there's some areas where they still got to use FedEx or UPS, but more and more, they're becoming their own shipper. They got their own trucks, their own handlers.
Yeah, I see a lot of those little white trucks in our neighborhood. Yeah, those are the Amazon trucks.
And now they're testing it out and being successful with it in a lot of places. Eventually, they will be their shipper. And you better keep an eye on that. If you got Federal Express stock or UPS stock, there's going to come a point where they're not going to be able to keep up with anything anymore. So watch out for that Amazon, that evil Amazon. You know, when you buy your new car and you go into the dealership, that's a big corporation. You just look around and go, this is evil. This is just totally evil. So I don't know where she goes with that speech.
It's selling. Yeah. Selling to the Democrats.
So Cory Booker, let me see.
As an African-American man in an African-American-dominated community, I knew one of the biggest issues was criminal justice reform.
Yeah, that's the only criticism. A lot of people are saying, all right, it's enough with the Newark. He keeps telling you the story about Newark when he was in Newark and he was
He's
in Newark.
He's barely in Newark.
Yeah. And it was a very mixed record as mayor of Newark. I wouldn't keep bringing that up if I were him. Let's see, Elizabeth Warren.
I spent a big chunk of my life studying why families go broke. And one of the number one reasons is the cost of health care, medical bills. And that's not just for people who don't.
Well, I'm an idiot, and I've never studied anything. And I think I would have figured that out in the first 20 seconds. I mean, I don't think I had to spend half my life studying it like she did. And, you know, if you're going to study things, I've seen people go get an MBA or they get a law degree. I never devoted my life to studying why people go broke.
Oh, that's. We now know.
I mean, I'm not a genius on this, but I would just, if I had a guess off the top of my head, massive medical bills, lost their job. I mean, wouldn't that be the first thing you think of?
Good guess.
Yeah. Bill de Blasio?
Russia, because they're trying to undermine our democracy, and they've been doing a pretty damn good job of it, and we need to stop them.
There you go. You see this crowd.
I like it.
You know, when she mentioned Gabbard's or whatever her name is, she mentioned she was in the military. Nothing. They sat on their hands. He mentions Russia. Boom, applause, everything. Mm-hmm. Russia, Russia, Russia. So tonight's the big debate, 9 to 11. I don't know how you're going to get through 2 hours of that. It's too long. Really, you only need an hour.
You think Biden will fade in the second hour?
Yeah, well, you know who had a big problem with that was Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney is this Mormon guy who goes to bed at 9 o'clock every night. And the debate was going to be 9 to 11. So one of the things you do before a debate, you do a lot of training. You do 2 weeks of practice sessions. But Romney actually said privately, he said one thing he had to train for was being awake at 11 o'clock at night. So for the weeks leading up to it, he made himself stay up till midnight, 1 o'clock, so that he could be wide awake at 11 and at his best. Biden, I think there's no hope. Biden at noon is just sleepy Joe Biden. So it's tonight, 9 to 11. I don't think anybody's really watching after the first hour. I think you'll get everything in the first hour. And as soon as that Chuck Todd comes on, I think everybody leaves.
Yeah, what's Rachel Maddow?
Yeah, Rachel Maddow, this, you know, this offended-looking intellectual with her glasses. I don't think she appeals to most people. And Chuck Todd with the goatee. What the hell is that? What anchor has a goatee?
I know.
Like I don't get him. Dan Rather meets Vincent Van Gogh with that goatee. And then when Chuck Todd says to the candidates, now I want a one-word answer, just one word. I want a one-word answer on this. He's basically telling you this is the most shallow, superficial exercise here. Why would you just want one word from a guest?
Who knows? And they don't give you one word anyway.
Yeah, but why would you want that? I just want one word. I don't want a real answer. I only want one word. Hey, the Hudson Yards, do you know earlier this week they had the big grand opening of the Hudson Yards?
No, I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah, Steve Ross, the builder, and he had thousands of people. They had a concert. The whole thing was to open the Hudson Yards.
They now, were open.
They've been open for like 4 months.
Yeah.
So I think that tells you everything about the success of the Hudson Yards. He relaunched it and reopened it earlier this week with another big opening night party. So it's one of the great disasters. In his defense, when you do the Hudson Yards, the planning of that, the development of that began 12 years ago. Nobody knew retail would be dead by then. Nobody knew the high-end market would be dead by then. Although you might have figured, who the hell wants to go to 34th and 11th Avenue for any reason? But it's just sitting there empty. They're giving away office space like at cost. That's why some companies are moving over there. And I think they're just trying to keep it going till Google or Amazon or somebody comes in and takes over the whole thing. So, hey, you know, I like Cy Vance. The district attorney's a great guy. But what he's doing is just disgusting. It's not just him. It's all these crazed Democrats in New York. They're bringing Paul Manafort in. He's in court right now. They've dragged him to New York. Paul Manafort, guilty as hell of that money laundering, that sleazy, whatever he did with the money with his old consulting business. It has nothing to do with Donald Trump. It's from like the early 2000s. But he's already been sentenced to life in prison. I mean, already he's in federal prison.
Effectively, yeah, right.
Effectively, he's got life in prison. He's going to die in jail. He's already been hit with a million charges and convicted. Cy Vance has dragged him to New York to now charge him with 16 counts. It's basically the same stuff, but this time it's mortgage fraud. It's just a total waste of time.
Well, they will argue that they need the state charges because Trump could pardon him on the federal charges and get him out of prison. So this would keep him in jail if he were to get a pardon from the president.
Really? I mean, even let's say he were pardoned by the president, which Trump can't stand Manafort. I don't think he'll pardon him, but... if he did, you could just charge him then. You could charge him the next day. But when you have a district attorney's office, you have a limited budget. You can only do so many cases. You can only do so many trials. And I've watched this with U.S. attorneys and that they very carefully pick the trials. Which one is the most important for the public? You know, sometimes there's a case that it's some kind of vague white-collar crime. But the other thing, it's something that's really affecting a lot of people. So they'll do that. You only have a certain number of cases you can do.
Right.
Only a certain number of U.S. attorneys or district attorneys, assistant district attorneys. So this is a complete waste of money and time and personnel to go after Manafort. And the real reason is not that, let's say Trump did pardon him, which he won't, but let's say he did. Who cares? What's the difference?
I don't know. I mean,
it's not like he's going to suddenly go back to work and have a wonderful life again. Guy's been through hell. He's already been in jail for a couple of years. What's the difference? Why, I mean, if you're Cy Vance, if you're a district attorney, wouldn't you think there's something important out there that you need to go after?
Yeah, I think something bigger than Manafort. Yeah, sure.
I mean, this is just political partisan vengeance for no purpose, for no reason. It's just stupid to watch a guy waste resources like this. You know, especially when you see what your taxes are in New York.
Mm-hmm.
It's enough wasting money. Harvey Weinstein. Apparently, before he got into all this trouble, the New York Times was working on the story. You know, it all started with that New York Times expose. And apparently he was on the phone with the reporters trying to tell him he's not such a bad guy. The audio has just been discovered. Do we know how this got discovered?
I think
it was Inside Edition played it. This is Harvey Weinstein before the story broke trying to stop all this. He's talking to the writers of the New York Times story.
Hello?
Hey, hi. Who's on?
Harvey Weinstein.
Okay, we've answered the big question. It's Weinstein, not Weinstein. Okay, it's Weinstein. Remember that.
Yeah.
No, excuse me. This is Harvey Weinstein talking.
Oh. All right. It gets better.
We've found a pattern over 3 decades of allegations of sexual harassment of multiple women.
I think you ought to be specific and tell me who they are and if they're on the record.
Okay. I think I'd want to know that, too.
I don't think so. We found a pattern of you sexually harassing women. I'd like their names, please, so I can have them wiped out. That's how bad it is.
He sounded pretty cocky there, didn't he?
This is before it all broke. Now, remember, this problem when he says you sexually harass women, to him, that's 7,000 women. He's got to figure in his head, which 4 do they have?
We've found a pattern over 3 decades of allegations of sexual harassment of multiple women.
I think you ought to be specific and tell me who they are and if they're on the record.
Yeah. Because if they're not on the record, it doesn't matter. So that was where it all began. And
he may get off, you know that? The case is a little flimsy.
Yeah, it's a little... Hey, that's another thing. You look at this... I love Cy Vance, but remember he couldn't charge Harvey Weinstein?
Yeah.
For 10 years, he couldn't find a charge to bring against him. Manafort, he's got a 16-count indictment there. Nobody's worried about this Paul Manafort anymore. So I would let it go. We'll get to George Papadopoulos. He'll be with us later. He was one of the first guys the Mueller team went after. And I'll ask him. I don't know why, but he pled guilty to the littlest, stupidest thing. Lying to the FBI. But if you look at the case, it was about, when did you meet with this guy? And he said April, and it was May. It was that kind of thing.
Yeah, but I thought it was a pretty smart move, because he got, a week in jail or something like that? And then you're done.
Yeah. Well, we'll ask him about it, but Mueller's going to testify. Mueller's got some questions to answer. We'll ask George what he would ask him. The other thing is, tonight, will anybody speak Spanish in the debate? Last night, that was the big, everybody trying to speak Spanish. Nobody worse at it than this Beto O'Rourke. He sounded ridiculous.
Listen. This economy has got to work for everyone. And right now, we know that it isn't. And it's going to take all of us coming together to make sure that it does. Necesitamos incluir cada persona en el éxito de esta economía.
It's like one of those bad car commercials. When the guy says this and this and this, then at the end, there's a little disclaimer. Not available in all states. let's see. Cory Booker. Oh, he worked on this Spanish.
La situación ahora es inaceptable. Este presidente ha atacado, ha demonizado los inmigrantes. Es inaceptable. Voy a cambiar este.
All you're showing is you really don't know how to speak Spanish. You learn the words, you kind of learn the pronunciation, but you don't really learn how to. It's like watching people dance at a wedding, and all they're showing you is they don't know how to dance. It's just the worst. Chris Bloomberg, the king of bad Spanish.
Le pedimos a todos los neoyorquinos que se mantengan informados.
This is the problem when you're a billionaire. The first time he did that, nobody had the nerve to say to him, you know, you look ridiculous when you speak Spanish. You're doing it with this Thurston Howell III accent. You sound like some patrician trying to speak Spanish. It sounds ridiculous. It sounds like you did this just so one day you could talk to the maid in Spanish.
Le pedimos a todos los neoyorquinos que se mantengan informados sobre el huracán Sandy, llamando al 311 o visitando al NAYC.
You picture him sitting there on the veranda with his mint julep, wants to practice his Spanish. Who speaks Spanish? Oh, the gardener. Get the gardener over here. Let me talk to him for a minute.
No, he had a teacher.
Again, when you're a billionaire, nobody has the nerve to say, you know what? This is not for you. It's not working. Anyway, check out the webpage. There's some great stuff up there. Hey, look at these two guys. They've become pretty famous around the world. They're the two best imitators of Trump and Kim Jong-un. They go around fooling a lot of people. It's great video. And then take a look at this. Actual Native Americans, actual American Indians asked what they think of Elizabeth Warren. Look what they've got to say. And Bill Barr, great guy, but not the world's best musician. Watch the video of him playing the bagpipes. Watch what he looks like playing the bagpipes. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
Now you can catch up with what you missed from Mark Simone on demand. Catch his podcasts at 710WOR.com/Mark. Mark Simone.
On the voice of New York.
710WOR.
Well, ratings for last night's debate, the JV one, looks like it'll be about 10 million viewers. That's good, but let's see. That's way below 2016, but 2016 was a little different that year. But it's ahead of the kickoff debates from 2012, 2008. So it did well. We got to look into the more advanced numbers that come out and see how many people actually stayed after the first hour. Let's take some calls. Let's go to Diane in Illinois. Hey, Diane.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Good.
I was laughing at the end of the debate. The moderators asked each of the candidates what they thought the two most important issues were during the campaign this year, and they gun control and climate change. Trump and climate change. And then I thought, it reminded me of that Sandra Bullock movie, Miss Congeniality, where all of the candidates said world peace, world peace. But the thing that's interesting is I wonder if the Democrats really have their heart in this. I think they know they're not going to win, but all these people are just jockeying for 2024 to get their name out there and run against anybody we put up after Trump can't.
No, that's a good point. That's a very good argument. That's interesting. Well, thanks, Diane. And thanks for letting us know what was said at the end, because I don't think anybody made it to the end of that debate. Yeah, you know, that's a good point. Some of those people in there, you know, you wonder, what is de Blasio doing in there? What is some of these backbenchers doing in there? They're getting ready for 2024. That's the big election for Democrats. Let's go to Billy in Long Island. Hey, Billy.
Hey, how are you, Mark?
Good.
So when I turned it on last night, I was absolutely shocked at the set. The set looked like a game show.
Yeah.
It looked like a game show. One other thing. Rourke looked ill. He looked worse than than Richard Nixon in the debate against JFK in the early 60s. And Cory, whenever Cory Booker speaks, he's got to do something with his eyes.
Yeah, he's got that bug-eyed look, as does Elizabeth Warren. Part of the problem was the lighting. If you go back and look at the clips of last night, and I can imagine the same tonight, the lighting was really bad. It just made everybody look kind of washed out and pale, and kind of had a weird color to it. And you're right, the set, the podiums look too much like game show podiums. Let's go to Joe in Norwalk. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Mark. I'm calling about Pocahontas Warren.
Yes.
I mean, you know, she's obviously been claiming now that, you know, her grandfather told her that she was part Native American. And,
yeah.
And the story is with their family that it's always been running around that they're part Cherokee Indians. Now, she has siblings. Those siblings must have also put on application Native American.
Well, that's a good point. No, the rest of her family never claimed they were Indian. She's not an Indian. She knows she's not an Indian. If she's a lawyer who represented big asbestos companies, big tobacco companies, she knows if you get caught lying about being an Indian, you don't say, well, my sister, my mother, you pick somebody who's been dead for 100 years who nobody can check with. So you say, my grandmother. Who died in 1962. She's the one that told me. Go check if you want. So, no, I don't think she's not going to bring up this Indian thing anymore. Let's go to Chris in Ardsley. Hey, Chris.
Yeah. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Mark, I think that New York City should have a special election to determine whether de Blasio should run for president or not. And the turnout should be very low because that's how he got elected.
Well, he should run for president. Yeah, it's not like he's showing up at the office every day. You know, it's not like he comes to work. He goes to the gym. He goes to that coffee shop in Brooklyn, strolls into the office around 1 o'clock, makes a few calls, takes a nap, and leaves. I mean, he can do that in a hotel room in Miami, too. Where do we stand on this Queens DA election?
I think Caban has won. It's not certified.
But we won't get it certified till next week, right?
Right. And then the speculation is that Melinda Katz will run as a Republican now to try and beat her in November. That was one of the stories this morning.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to work.
That's very tough. That's very tough.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no Republican Party.
Melinda Katz, very nice. Nothing wrong with her. But I don't think anybody is sitting around going, God, we have to have another chance to vote for Melinda Katz. It's just one of those bland sort of bureaucrats that's going to be there forever. And you get these types, these Freddie Ferrer, Mark Green, you know, I have no life. I must be in government at all times. Whatever job opens up, I'm for that.
Yeah, there's a lot of them around here.
Comptroller, that's me. DA, yep. Oh, that's me. What's open? Senator, okay, that's me.
Yep.
They just want to stay in the bureaucracy, doesn't matter what the hell the job is. Hey, when we come back, George Papadopoulos will be with us. He was the first one that was called in by Mueller. He's a big part of this whole Russia hoax, got caught up in it. We'll talk to him about Mueller and all of that in a moment on 710 WOR. Let's get the latest news. Here's Joe Bart.
This is Mark Simone.
Mr. New York. 710 WOR.
Whoa! Oh. Now, George Papadopoulos is a great guy. He was caught up in this ridiculous, stupid Russia hoax. He did nothing wrong, but got trapped in this nonsense. By the way, he's got a great book out, which you should get. It's called Deep State Target, How I Got Caught in the Crosshairs of the Plot to Bring Down President Trump. Excellent book. You should get it. George Papadopoulos, how you doing?
Doing great, Mark. Thanks a lot for having me.
Hey, the big news is Robert Mueller's going to testify. If we put you on the panel, what would you ask Robert Mueller?
You know, I was thinking about this yesterday, and I think this is going to backfire in a great fashion for the Democrats. And anybody who thinks that Mueller is actually going to hurt the president, just basically, now that we know that, of course, there was no conspiracy or no collusion, just like I knew from the beginning, because of this, you know, so much of this witch hunt went through me. And in the beginning, this was such a orchestrated setup. I would basically ask him, when did you know that there was no collusion and conspiracy? And then I would start asking him about a lot of the main characters of the whole investigation that Mueller was calling Russian agents, but now we're later finding out that they were basically working with the FBI and the CIA, including guys in Manafort's case and in my case. So the whole story, you know, never made sense from the beginning, and it's making even less sense now that we have new information.
Yeah. Now, You know, you get some of those great NYPD detectives, when you're in a room with them, you can see they got lie detectors built into their head. They can tell if you're lying or not. But these federal guys, these Mueller guys, they probably don't have that kind of skill. Did you notice that when you were in the room with them?
You know, when I was in the room with these people, I saw a bunch of, you know, I really characterized them as Hillary Clinton's personal lawyers. These people, these people, you know, I spent 20 hours with them, you know, over about a year with these people. And what these people were out to do was find scalps, any scalps they can, for the simple reason to avenge Hillary Clinton's loss and to try and obviously hurt Donald Trump. They weren't looking for justice because, as I said in the beginning of this conversation, they knew from the beginning that there was no conspiracy and no collusion, and this whole thing was a setup.
Yeah. Now, Donald Trump didn't want to testify in person because they try to get you in these perjury traps. And George Papadopoulos, they caught you in these stupid perjury traps. But wasn't it that you said you met the guy in April and it was actually May? It was something so ridiculously trivial that it should have just been forgotten about.
Well, that's the point. You know, these guys were looking to catch various people in perjury traps. I think they did it to Flynn, too. That's why they went after Flynn within 24 hours of me and a couple other of these guys that got caught up. They were looking for perjury traps. I'm telling you, these people, Mueller's team, were not looking for justice. They had their sights set on certain guys who ended up getting caught up in this, and they wanted to take them down to eventually get Trump for whatever reason, whatever information they thought I had, Manafort, Flynn, and Roger Stone. They thought by, you know, throwing the kitchen sink at all of us and trying to bankrupt us that they would squeeze us to hurt the president. It didn't work. I took it like a man. I wasn't going to lie and make a story up to hurt the president, because this country comes first for me. I did a little time in jail, but for me, it was the best decision I ever made. Was not flipping and turning to hurt the president and eventually destroy this country.
Yeah, that was pretty brave of you. So. Well, what were these guys like when they were in the room with you? Were they like vicious, rude, or were they very professional? What was their manner?
You know what? I read a couple other people's testimonies saying that these people were professional. For me, these people were the last thing but professional. I was dealing from beginning until end, including with the FBI even before Mueller. Look, the FBI are great people, and you know they're great people. Obviously, 99.9% of them, but I just happened possibly to run into the bad ones. I don't know, because I wasn't treated with respect. Basically, I was being they were alleging I was doing things that, of course, I was not. And the whole situation was so chaotic that, as you remember, they had me under seal. So I couldn't raise money the way other people could. I couldn't reach out to allies the way I could. Yeah. I couldn't even hire the lawyer I wanted, because they said one of the lawyers that you wanted to represent you was connected to Donald Trump. So if you do that, we'll reprimand you. So it was a really crazy situation. I'm glad it's over. But you know, they were trying to basically make me sing and compose, and it's not my style, Mark, so I didn't do it.
So, yeah, you know, it's okay if you want to terrorize the guy into giving up stuff, but if you got the wrong guy and he's got nothing to give up, you got to know that. Otherwise, there's no point. Hey, and George has a great book. If you want to read all the details, get the book, Deep State Target, How I Got Caught in the Crosshairs of the Plot to Bring Down President Trump. Hey, what was the deal with the money? There was $10,000 that changed hands, but the bills were marked. You could probably trace that back to the DOJ, right?
Oh, that's a really great point you just made, and that's a point that not a lot of people understand yet. There have been some articles about it, but yeah, I think there was some sort of sting that was sent against me, where they were trying to allege that I was some sort of agent for Israel. It's even crazier than you could possibly think. Remember when you said they got the wrong guy?
Yeah.
I mean, they really had a fantasy about me, where not only did they think I was, or they were trying to manufacture that I was dealing with Russians, but they also thought I was dealing with Israelis or something. So one day I'm on vacation with my girlfriend at the time, and there's this guy who comes to me talking about business. I don't know what he's talking about, really. And he puts me in a room, and he's like, here's $10,000 in cash. So so I see him. I said, what's this money for? He's like, it's a retainer for some business that we want to do. I see it's shady. I take it to my lawyers the next day in Greece. And as I'm flying back to Dulles, I'm arrested. And I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I'm being arrested. I don't know why agents are looking through my bags, what they're trying to find, until later I find out that they were looking for money. Now, this money is very important because members of Congress think that it is marked. They think it goes directly back to the DOJ. They think it was a sting operation that not the FBI, but the Mueller team actually launched against me. So we're going to wait and see. Durham and Barr are new on the job. I know Congress has been looking at this issue for a long time, but there's so many moving parts. It really took a guy like Durham, who has experience prosecuting, malfeasance and the intel community, to really be put in place and do the job that he's going to be doing. Because what they did to me, and what some of the stuff that I'm talking to you about here, when I talk about it, people's mouth just drops. But it really happens.
So. You still have that money somewhere, right? So somebody could check the markings on the bills, and it might trace back to Comey and company.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's still with my lawyers. Like I said, as soon as I met this individual who gives me the money, I thought there was some sort of setup. So I ended up giving it to my lawyer for safekeeping. And it was probably the best decision I ever made in my life, because I truly believe, and I think many people believe, especially in the administration now in Congress, that those are marked bills. And they do go directly back to Comey and possibly even Mueller's team. So it's going to be great once I could finally bring those bills back to the U.S.
Do you have any confidence in these special investigators, Horowitz, Huber, all these guys, to really get to the bottom of this?
You know who I really have confidence in is Barr.
Yeah.
I don't know Horowitz and Huber. I just, because they're just silent. You don't ever hear them talk, and you don't know what their motivations are. But I really like Barr. I think Barr is the killer. He's a killer choice for Attorney General. I never liked Sessions in there. I used to, work with Sessions. I think he's a nice guy. I think he got caught up in something and he ended up getting compromised, and that's why he recused himself. But Barr, like he said during his CBS interview, we all die eventually, and we're going to leave a legacy on this earth. And he's looking for the truth. And he's going to go to the full extent of whatever he has to expose what he thinks was illegal spying on a presidential campaign, which is unprecedented. So just using that language alone for me gave me confidence that he's a tremendous pick, because we see how polar opposite he is from Jeff Sessions, who I don't know where this guy went, but I think the president was right when he said that he was his worst hire ever.
Yeah.
So that's all I'll say about that. And I think Barr and Durham, if you just look at Durham, this guy's a real bulldog.
Yeah.
He's going to get to the bottom of it. And you need strong guys like this to take care of this, because we're not dealing with choir boys here. The guys that set us up, you see Comey acting like a very self-righteous kind of guy. But this person was a kingpin of probably one of the most illegal and scandalous events in modern history.
Well, George Papadopoulos, I wish we had more time. We don't, but you've been heroic throughout all of this. Everybody get his book. It's called Deep State Target, How I Got Caught in the Crosshairs. It's a riveting book, Deep State Target. You can get it on Amazon or wherever. And George, let's do this again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Thanks for being with us. Take care. What a story this is. And I got many more chapters coming in all of this. Hey, check out the webpage. A lot of good stuff up there. Speaking of Bill Barr, brilliant attorney general, a musician. I don't know. Watch this. This is him in concert on the bagpipes. Take a look at this video. Hey, also watch these two guys. These are the best imitators. The best Trump and Kim Jong-un impersonators in the world. They're working together. Take a look at them. Also watch actual Native Americans, actual Indians, talk about what they think of Elizabeth Warren. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.